something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on Taggart and Torrens,
we break down the movie Saved by the Bell,
my encounter with Roberto Alomar,
and why do those meat carts in supermarkets spin?
Coming up right now on TNT.
Hey, Jonathan, how are you?
I'm great, Bud. How are you?
I'm great. Did you enjoy this wonderful summer weather? Are you enjoying that?
I was until it suddenly became fall out. It's the air's cool out here on the East Coast. I don't know if it's the same in Upper Canada, but usually around this time in August, suddenly the evenings are a little bit colder, and you notice it gets darker earlier, and that's where we are.
That's actually makes my heart sad, because it wasn't that long ago we were talking about summer starting for you. I think it was an episode or two ago, you were kind of frustrated that it's been a long spring. And here we are. You sent me a photo of your shed being blown down, and that was right before summer kind of hit, and that wasn't that long ago.
I know.
And here you are coming into fall.
I know. It's still nice and warm during the day. It's actually sweater weather. That's my pocket right there. That's my wheelhouse. Speaking of summer and boys of summer, Roberto Alomar was on Mr. D last week.
Nice. I mean, I'm actually, I was kind of a grumpy Alomar fan because of that episode with the umpire.
When he what did he do?
And stuff, and he was kind of, I mean, I know he's a spectacular player. I mean, probably one of the greats and deserves to be in the Hall of Fame and all that stuff. But, I mean, I hope that you saw a brighter side of the guy.
Well, so I guess his reputation kind of precedes him a little bit. I don't even know why I had it in my head that he might be a bit much. I have to say, he was a total gentleman, took pictures with all the crew guys, had time for everybody. He has a very rehearsed but patient smile, and he couldn't have been happier to be there. He was genuinely having fun. But this was the amazing thing. He was in a scene with me and a buddy of mine named Suresh John, who plays the janitor, Mr. Malik.
Mm-hmm.
Having been burned, as I mentioned on episodes before, by my sha-la-la-la moment with Michael Gross, who played the dad on Family Ties that I worked with on Fitz. I didn't want to say the word McCain. Like, it spring-loaded in my throat, of course, but I didn't want to say, remember when you did that thing that was pop culture shorthand for crazy?
You're referring to the classic McCain catch the taste punch commercial from 1990s.
Yeah.
And that kind of shaped the that was it for if you watch sports or if you watch TV, that was a staple.
Well, and that was kind of a pop culture punchline for a couple of years.
Yes. Yes, and that was like the classic example of like the bad sponsor, you know, got to do it in 2 hours for the athlete.
And I think, as I recall, I think he dives to catch like a can of McCain.
Can of juice, frozen juice.
So, in fact, I bet I can find it on the internet service, and I should.
Yes, for sure.
But this was the amazing thing. So Suresh and I are dying to hear him say it, because Suresh is about our age and knows the reference point and all that.
For sure.
So I inadvertently said between takes, so Robbie, have you acted before? Surely over the years you've done kind of cameos on, I had imagined, on Street Legal or whatever shows of the day, ENG maybe on CTV.
That's deep.
And he was like, no, I haven't really. I did one commercial for McCain several years ago, and Suresh and I didn't say anything. And he said, you know, catch the taste.
So you were playing it like just, you know, letting him. So he was actually like, come on, you guys have seen it possibly.
Yeah.
It was catch the taste. And then he actually, like, did he kill it? It was the same exact.
Oh, he crushed it. Yeah, yeah. It was the same exact performance and delivery. But it was a pretty surreal moment to have.
Did you look at the hook. Did you look at Suresh like, this is happening? One of those guys? Is this really happening?
It was so awesome that we didn't want to make eye contact for fear that he would be like, oh, I see what you guys are doing. So yeah, we just continued to stare even harder at him and not break eye contact. And then only later via text, it was like, can you believe we caught the taste?
Did he say it again? Did you say, oh yeah, no, I know what you're talking about, Robbie, when he threw that out there?
Yeah, well, Suresh asked him a bit about the process. Like, so when you shot the McCain thing, like how long did you have, or did you have to say a bunch of lines? And he was like, well, you know, I just kind of fielded some balls and then said, catch the taste. So he dropped it a couple of times and it was pretty serious. Here it comes. Yeah, I'm going to play it for you. Here it comes. Okay.
I could see it for sure. Like if someone coaxed him to do it.
McCain frozen punch in orange, berry, and fruit punch. McCain punch is made with real fruit juices to deliver real fruit taste, which makes McCain
here it comes.
The punch of champions, like Roberto Alomar. Win a day with Roberto Alomar and the Blue Jays by entering the Catch the Taste sweepstakes from the Junior Jays and McCain Punch today. Catch the taste.
Like totally 5 seconds of his life. I can't even believe he remembered doing it.
He probably got $1 billion.
Really? Do you think? I thought that those were always like, you know, not great.
Well, why else would he do it?
Well, because that was all there was, and it was more also promotion to keep your name out there. That's why they do them, right? They get like...
Yeah, but he wasn't... That was peak career time. That wasn't like trying to stay in the limelight.
Yeah, but it's Canada, for one thing.
So you think Roberto Alomar did the McCain punch spot for 12-5?
Maybe. Yeah, you know, I mean, here's an example. Like, Johnny Damon, at the height of his career... After he had won the championships, World Series with...
He did a couple of spots for Peabody Hardware?
Well, yeah.
In Massachusetts?
After he won with Boston, he did one for Dunkin' Donuts, like where he like... It was a long campaign, and I don't think he made that much, like 20 or 30 grand for a commercial, but it
come
was
on.
More about... I'm serious. It was more about getting your name... And your face out there to the public. I mean, unless it's McDonald's or something that you have, I'm sure Michael Jordan, when he did McDonald's, it was ridiculous. But for the little small one-off kind of things, it's not that much.
Listen.
It's a lot. They kind of look at the trade-off. What's that?
I was just playing for you one more time.
Oh,
here it comes again.
One more time. Yeah, story.
Hey, catch the taste.
I love that little cheap horn line and the music.
I know. There's also the like maracas or whatever it is. It's a pretty it's 80s drum beat.
Alfie Zappacosta.
Yeah. Right? Some for session sure, guys. Right? Jeff, what was his name? Angel Eyes.
Oh my gosh.
The visually impaired gentleman.
Jeff Healy.
Yeah, it was probably Jeff Healy's band that stopped by at... Bloor and Roncesvalles in a tiny studio and laid that down.
You mean you're talking about Tom Stevens, the drummer from, and I can't remember, everybody always forgets the bass player's name.
Heavy player, by the way, Jeff Healy.
Jeff Healy was incredible for sure.
Here's the thing. Catch the taste.
The other hand.
It's not even like, oh, I see what they did. They took the popular expression, catch the taste.
Yeah.
And they found somebody who catches things for a living, so it's kind of a double entendre. It's not like catch the taste isn't even a thing.
Well, if you're thinking like hit when it hits the palate and you're catching it with your flavor bits.
I don't know.
It's like you picture the little Rawlings glove towards the end of your tongue or wherever the hell those parts are.
I think you're being awfully generous. Like, even Roberto, oh my God, that's good juice. Like, that, I see, they took his name and they made it about the juice. Catch the taste isn't a thing.
No, it's not. Believe me, I'm not too upset about it. It was a shit campaign. Other than the fact that it was Robbie doing his big dives.
I'm livid, if you can't tell. Or like even a la marmalade. Like there should be, I'm not an ad guy, but there should be like a tie-in between the person's name and the thing, shouldn't there? Catch the taste.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that was the the campaign previous, and they had, did they maybe do it with some other athletes? Or, but I don't know. It was pretty lame, though. You're correct.
Unlike OK Blue Jays, Let's Play Ball,
written by
Keith Hampshire.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's written by Keith Hampshire. Who the hell's Keith Hampshire?
Who the hell's Keith?
Tony.
Keith Hampshire?
Tony. What the heck is his name? My dad used to play with him in the 60s.
Is it a fly ball or is it a seagull? Tony coming in from the lake.
Tony Kosnack. That's who it is. Look it up. Look it up on the goggles right in front of you.
Yeah, but didn't
Keith Hampshire? The goggles paisano will tell you it's Tony Kosnack, and my dad used to play drums in his band.
I know.
And that's classic.
Braggart. Jeremy Braggart.
Well, that's the affiliation, the only affiliation with my dad and
Super Fame
history is that oak, like that band.
In 83, Hampshire released a song as Keith Hampshire and the Bat Boys entitled OK Blue Jays. Now, in fairness, it says...
Yeah, that's probably a different song.
He released it. It was written by Alan Smith, Pat Arbor, Jack Lenz, and Tony Kosnick.
There you go.
Here's the curious thing.
What?
The song was remixed by Rob Wells.
Yeah, who's that?
Ricky on Trailer Park Boys.
No, not that Rob Wells, though.
That would you be would be Canadianity for 1,000.
That would, he has a little remix gig on the side.
He just didn't want to brag.
That would be insane, imagine. He was a DJ. I would have less anger towards that music culture if Rob Wells was a DJ.
So let's talk about EDM and music culture for a second, because I went to a music festival last weekend with my wife. We went to Boots and Hearts in Bowmanville, Ontario. And it's a country music festival, so as you can imagine, a lot of jean shorts, a lot of plaid shirts, a lot of cowboy hats and boots. But from a banged up standpoint, lots of NHL dudes there. I think a lot of folks probably had, you know, 6-7 too many Coors Lights. But you don't see folks face down in their tents convulsing.
No, there was no K-holes?
I don't think there were any K-holes. There were some, like, mud holes. In fact, that resulted in an outbreak of cankles. I met an EMT.
Cankles.
This woman was leaving, and she looked pretty beaten down. And I said, "Did you have a nice day?" And she said, "Well, I'm actually an EMT, and I had to treat 30 people for an airborne skin, I guess, reaction or infestation or allergy or something." People were in their bare feet, and in some cases flip-flops, and their ankles swelled up. I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, that's but weird.
Compared to the EDM festivals, where
GHB or like throwing down some bath salts to some Avicii and ending up in an ambulance.
Why is that fun?
I don't know. I don't understand why. Well, I mean, I've been to a couple raves in my life, and I took part in that culture a couple times, and it was like, I was like, what's going on? This sucks. And then somebody gave me some ecstasy, and all of a sudden I was like, man, this music is the best of music in the world. And then I started to come down off the ecstasy, and the world was ending to me, and I had the worst feeling in the world, and it was awful, a terrible experience. But I'm not saying everybody does drugs or has to do drugs, but a lot of people do drugs. If you go to these things, people are all fired up on something. They're wearing barely anything, and they're dancing till 6 o'clock in the morning with glow sticks and whatever else, looking ridiculous. And there's got to be a reason for, you know, between 20 and 30 people every single time at these big festivals, either, you know, being having to be revived or taking off or taking. Two people died at that Veld festival. And
did they?
Yeah. 29 people were in hospitalized at the Avicii concert?
I think there was a rivalry between us Boots and Hearts folks and the Veld people. I think we were supposed to fight them.
Yeah, imagine that. It'd be like warriors.
And they'd show up with like fur boas and, you know, rabbit ears. This here's just the thing.
Grinding their teeth.
EDM, like what you do at nighttime, I get it. You come alive in the nighttime and you want to go, you know, dry hump folks in a safe environment. That is what it is. It's the dudes in the Civics with ground effects packages listening to Zip Dup Dup a Quick Dork Zwip a Zigadad Damn Bum at 8:48 on the 404 on their way downtown to work at Kinko's.
Oh, I don't believe me. That's the.
Why do you want to listen to that stuff then?
I don't know. Like, when I hear that music, I feel like shopping, and I don't like shopping. You know what I mean? I hate looking at clothes, but that's what it
is. That makes you want to go into Le Chateau and try on some hammer pants?
Yeah, it's like, I don't want these clothes, but I must look at some more and buy some more shit.
You know what I must do?
What?
I must take a break, and perfect. Then we want to get into this. Don't want to blow our wad, so to speak, but there's a Saved by the Bell movie, and we're going to drill down.
Saved we're going to talk about all Bell aspects movie. Of it. We're going to have to break this down on TNT.
Saved by the Belding. Be right back.
Where's my beer chair?
So there's a Saved by the Bell behind the scenes movie starring comely 20-something actors who presumably assume this is their big break, getting to play Kelly Kapowski in a thing. I have so many questions about, I guess starting with, did that show really achieve the level of pop culture status that it merits a movie about the goings-on behind the scenes?
I guess it does if there's a movie about that second movie about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so I figure that's way more than
See, enough. I thought they were the same movie.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's just a movie. So I think it makes sense to me that it's happening. What years did it actually run from? Because I remember that it was actually still on when I think it was still on when you were doing Street Sense and Jonavision, right?
I'm sure.
So and I think I was on tour when it was still on. Like early 90s, it was still on TV, right?
Let's go to the wiki. Yeah, I would say that's for wiki. Sure. In fact, it must have gone, like with the college years and Saved by the Bell, the new class, or whatever it was called. Because remember, Principal Belding stayed and they kept Screech around?
Yeah, and then they ended up in Hawaii or something. Yeah. That's how it works.
Ran from 89 to 93 only.
And then there was just splits and movies and whatnot. It seems like it was on for 50 years.
Saved by the Bell, Hawaiian Style was 92. Wedding in Las Vegas was 94. So this is the thing. This is the thing. Screech, whose real name is Dustin Diamond, a few years ago, writes a book. And in the book, he says a lot of, you wouldn't believe what went on behind the scenes. So-and-so pounded so-and-so. So-and-so was doing drugs or whatever. And I think without exception, everyone else in the cast is like, but that never happened. None of that ever happened.
So he tried to do the, like, Jose Canseco throw everybody under the bus, except he was just possibly...
Yeah, and the people were like, we're not even on the bus. What? There was no bus. What are you even talking about?
I wonder if Screech was just trying to stir it up.
Well, Screech, you might remember, had an adult film called Screeched.
That's right, he did. He tried that, and even that didn't work out.
I don't think it went super well. But so the rest of the cast people were like, "Well, yeah. First of all, it's not even him in the movie, and secondly." He's doing it as a money grab, so why would you believe anything that he says? So here is, I found a clip. Here is Dustin Diamond on life after Saved by the Bell. The question posed was, is there anything about your time on Saved by the Bell that you regret? I feel like he protests too much about how great his life is now, but take a listen.
I don't regret anything about, you know, anything involving Saved by the Bell. I mean, it was a huge part of my life. It, you know, it got me to where I'm at now, and I live a really good life. I enjoy myself, you know. I mean, you know, stand-up is great, and, you know, the audiences are fans of mine now and not just the Screech thing. I mean, doing stand-up in the beginning, you know, everyone was, Screech doing stand-up. Now people are like, yeah, Dustin Diamond, he's funny, we're coming out to see him. And, you know, it's like people actually know my name now. It's really cool.
Is it?
Oh, man, that makes me sad hearing that stuff. When, oh, yeah, you know, I'm doing stand-up and people know me just for that now. Talk about just stunned in your own little world.
Okay, but wait, it gets worse.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you know, people think, you know, because stand-up isn't televised, if you're, you know, not on TV all the time, that, you know, he's washed up, you can't get work. No, not 47 weeks out of the year, I'm working constantly, and I started stand-up the first time I hit stage 5 days after our rap party for the new class.
So he's rugged, he's got legs, sea legs, he's an experienced comic now, respected almost.
It's so, there's something so defensive about it, and I don't even mean to diss the guy, because I am like one bad decision away from working at Burrito Jack's, but he seems to be defending himself where the question didn't really warrant that.
No, it's that whole kind of like sad sack narcissistic idea of building up this defense and trying to tell people what you're doing without them really asking.
Right.
You know?
Mario Lopez is someone that I've devoted a lot of energy professionally to mocking, because he's one of those guys that I just don't for the life of me understand it, to the point where on my show a few years ago I had a thing called the Lopezies, which was like the Oscars for the worst in television, and I named them after him, and the statue was like an Oscar with curly hair and big dimples.
Well, isn't that what it is? Like he's become the guy who can read something without stumbling, so they get hired all the time.
Is that, you know, his thing?
Teleprompters and reading as a host.
Isn't that what he does? He works a lot.
Yeah. Like he's always doing those TV, like reality shows, talking about whatnot with a mic and saying, here they come out. And what do you think about that? No, never a pressing question, always just real light.
So where, I have a theory, like, do you remember Pat O'Brien?
Yeah.
I have a theory that...
Man, that guy had some classic B-roll scenes, eh? Some stories about that guy.
Oh my God, you're so hot.
Yeah.
You're so hot.
Let's do some coke and get some hookers.
I have a theory that Pat O'Brien was never actually in the studio on any given day that there was breaking news, because anytime he was just on camera in those shows like Mario Lopez and Extra, all he ever said was like, coming up, you won't believe what happened.
Every single time.
And then they just go right to VO. He does voiceover from his house, and they just drop it in over the picture.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same with Mario Lopez, although they've made Mario Lopez, he now has to do those devastating in-show commercials. Like in the middle of Extra, he has to talk to some skin expert about how to fight cankles at a country festival.
So show me how you put it on. Yeah. Oh yeah, I got it. This isn't tough. Little awareness, eh? But no more cankles.
But why does
big smile with the dimples?
Ugh. Why does he work so much?
Because he's got big dimples and a nice smile, and he the sad part of it, he can appeal to both, you know, every race. Everybody loves him. They think about that stuff down there,
right?
And he has big muscles,
right?
Right.
Was he or was he not? I'm just looking at his IMDb. Let's play a game called Marry Yes or Marry No.
Oh, I love it. A game. Marry yes or Mario. Marry yes or Marry no.
Yeah. If he did it, you say Mary yes. If he didn't do it, you say Mary no.
Okay, got it.
Was he in 2011? Was he in the Disney Parks Christmas Day Parade?
Of course.
Yeah, Mary yes.
Yes, Mary yes. Sorry, Mary yes.
In 2011, did he host the Do Something Awards?
Mary yes.
Mary yes, he did. Yeah. I think the problem with this game is he's done everything.
Well, ask me something that you think would just, you know, keep going here.
Oh, here's a good one. Was he in 2009 on According to Jim?
Mary, no.
Mary, no. That's correct.
I don't know if he could make that show work. An appearance on there.
Did he or did he not host Miss Universe in 2007?
Mary, yes.
Mary, yes, he did, yeah.
Yeah.
Did he or did he not play the role of Mario Lopez in 2007's Countdown to Destiny?
Mary, yes.
Mary, yes, he did.
Oh my God. He played himself?
Yeah. Did he or did he not co-host the TV series Dating Factory?
Mary, yes.
Mary, yes, he did. Was he or was he not the host of America's Cutest Puppy in 2006?
Mary, guaranteed. Mary, yes.
Mary, no.
Oh, that's really?
Yeah.
I figured that he would have been a shoe-in for that one.
Did he?
I bet you he showed up and was like the second choice.
Did he or did he not appear as himself on Miss Teen USA in 2003?
Mary, yes.
Yes. Did he or did he not host 50 Greatest TV Animals?
Mary, yes.
Yeah, he did. He's done a lot.
Who's his agent? Just... Booking it every day.
He's a congooglionaire. I don't have a lot of time for Mario Lopez.
Yeah.
So let me ask you something. Of the Saved by the Bell kids, did he do the best?
No, didn't who's the guy with the blonde hair?
Mark Paul Gosselaar?
Yeah, he's on TV now. He's on one of those CSI shows, isn't he?
Yeah, but Mario Lopez is on like 5 shows right now.
Is he on one of those shows too? Is he on TV shows?
I don't know if he's on one of those shows, but he's on a bunch of shows.
Yeah, so but that guy's on like one of those dramatic shows. I figured that would be pretty good. The girls, on the other hand, have kind of all fallen away. I don't know where they all went. But I think that guy, and Screech is still, I guess he's busy 47, was it 47 nights?
47 weeks a year, man. He's playing the Chuckle Factory in Akron.
Right now, tonight?
No. Do you want to find out where he is tonight?
Yeah, let's find out where he is, because if he's busy that much, he's definitely working right now.
Oh my gosh.
Let's see.
I'm going to DustinDiamond.com. It's my worst fear. Oh my gosh.
No dates?
No. This is my worst fear that for whatever reason my computer gets taken into custody. Have I told you this?
Yeah.
And
no, I don't know.
And the judge has to say, did you or did you not search DustinDiamond.com? And I have to I can explain. And he says, sir, it's a yes or no question. And I have to say yes, nothing further. Here's what it says on the homepage of DustinDiamond.com. I'm famous actor Dustin Diamond. You have prob-lab-y seen me on TV.
Oh, really?
Prob-lab-y.
Prob-lab-y.
You've prob-lab-y. Seeing me on TV. this has got to be, this can't be it, because it says I'm famous actor Dustin Diamond.
What?
It says Diamond. His last name isn't spelled right.
No way.
All right, Dustin Diamond, dates. Wait a minute.
That wasn't
Dustin Diamond Sobeys. Why does that search come up?
Sobeys.
Tell us what Sobeys you love to make bag. With tomatoes. There must be a guy. He's the treasurer of Sobeys.
People love that Sobeys bag story, eh?
Oh, yeah, they love it.
I've been on the Jay and Dan pod a couple times talking about I've had to use the potty or in the car in the minivan.
No.
Yeah, like I've gone down to do like morning radio or something, and it's like I didn't think I'd have to go, or I thought I went already, and just like terrible, like can't go anywhere, and I've had to use it, and it fucking rocks, man. If you ever have to do it.
What do you mean? You have it in the back of the van?
Yes.
No.
The kids' potty. Because we have it for them. Because they're, you know, our daughter will be like, I have to pee. And it's like, well, where are you going to go sometimes if you're at the park, you know? So it's great for the kids.
That's actually genius.
It is, of course. That's Lisa's great move of the year. But it's in there just for them. But I've, like, looked at it in the rearview mirror in, like, horror. Like, I gotta do this. And I did it once, and I was like, man, this is dynamite, but I need to... my wife is like, shut up, that's disgusting. Why do you have to even talk about that? And next time, if you ever have to do it, put a bag in there first instead of just going in the pot.
No.
Yeah.
A Sobeys bag.
Yeah. And I totally forgot that, but that's your territory.
So the people that listen to the Jay and Dan are loving the potty and the van story?
Oh, well, I think, you know, 20% of the show revolves around bowel movements.
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course. It's always accepted. Your Sobeys bag story is actually a classic, and I don't think I've ever heard it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good one. I have another one for them when I go back on. If that's their wheelhouse, I have another.
Well, I don't know if it's their wheelhouse, but it's
like... Well, Jay loves that stuff.
Oh, sure he does, but I'm saying like that you went on and told that story, and it was like everybody loves that story, so it doesn't necessarily mean you need to go and tell a shit story next time you're on the podcast.
It's a very... It's a very East Coast thing.
It like, is, isn't it?
Because it's like Kleenex. That's the brand here. It's like, where does your mom keep her Sobeys bags? That's what you ask when you went into someone's house.
That's all it is, for sure. Absolutely.
And it's funny because I had a friend who grew up in Toronto, and Sobeys was in kind of a she area, and she thought it was an upscale Jewish grocery store. I was like, really? Because there was only, I guess, one in Toronto, and that was the area it was in.
Oh, there's one that's around. There's one up by me. There's a Sobeys Express, which is like the fancy one.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, I guess it's trying to compete with like Whole Foods, and it's like all the open, you know, the olives and the whatnot, the
no.
cheeses and the oh yeah, man, it's heavy duty.
My 2-year-old daughter was complaining that she didn't have enough dresses and enough options for things to wear, so I made her a dress out of a Sobeys bag. I took the handles and that's where her arms went, and I just ripped the bottom out. I was like, well, then you can wear this till the end of time then.
And it's still, like, it's still, the East Coast is Sobeys.
Yeah.
Like, you were there, you've been to a Sobeys in the last week.
What time is it now?
Yeah, it's...
We're having the Mr. D crew down here tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. You're having a big party tomorrow. So you were there earlier, right?
Well, okay. So the biggest challenge about this barbecue has been we like to make our hamburger patties a certain way. And I'm not going to give away Carol's secret recipe, but they're excellent burger patties that she makes.
Nice.
But we need 150 burger patties. So... I was trying to wheel the meat manager at Sobeys
Oh, yeah.
Into making them Carol's way, and she wouldn't do it. No. She's like, no, we can cut them off for you and just give you the patties. But you know when you just buy the patties at Sobeys, they're like doorstops. There's nothing flavorful about them.
Yeah, you don't want to be, and you don't have to make 150 patties on your own
either. Right. So my thing was, let us buy the ingredients. I'll give you the secret ingredients and the recipe, and you guys can just make them up our way. But they wouldn't do it. Yeah, there were two young guys working there who were game, and then Inspector Killjoy returned back with her round meat trolley and said, "We can't be doing that stuff."
That's like what. And then it was the end of that. You had some little side deal going.
I did.
Giving them extra 5% each.
See, the first question that I asked the guy, his answer was, well, I don't see why not. So once he opened the I don't see why not door, I was like, all right, I'm going to jam it through. Can you make me 150 patties? I don't see why not. Can you make them like this? But I don't see why not.
Let me ask this lady over here. Yeah. And the sirens went off, right?
You know the meat trolleys that when they push them, they're like round and metal. And when they push them, the metal thing goes they around. Spin.
Yeah.
What are those?
I don't know. Why do they have to do that?
I don't know.
Why does it have to spin?
I don't know. But it was spinning, and so was my mind after my interaction with her.
What, she came and it started spinning?
She shut it down.
Why do they spin though?
I don't know. Maybe it's so that the meat doesn't stick to the edge of the thing.
But they're always, even if they're like, if they're in packages in there.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why it needs to spin, but it does. They always do. And it's funny because you can't move it that fast because it doesn't spin that fast.
It's spinning.
So she was about 10 feet away when she dropped the, wait now, what's this? And we had to wait in silence as she walked up the remaining 8 feet.
She's so mad, it's like whistling.
Yeah. Yeah. Pork chops are flying. So all that to say, they're going to make us patties, and then we're going to unmake the patties and remake them our way.
Oh, so like you gotta do whatever you... How's that gonna work?
It just has to.
You just have to get up at 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
You're gonna have a big bash tomorrow. It's gonna be a good time.
It's a big bash, yeah. It's all the crew from the Mr. D Show. It's a crew-bacue.
Nice.
And I thought it'd be nice, because it's our fourth season, I thought it'd be nice for all the people to come down to our place and jam some meat.
And everybody's going to have a good time.
Yeah. So I went to the... Do you guys have Giant Tiger in Upper Canada?
The Spotty. They're not around that much, but they are around.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, they used to be a lot more, but not as much, yeah.
So I went to the Giant Tiger today because I was looking for some kind of lawn games.
Yeah.
Things to play on the lawn. We have washer toss, of course.
Of course.
I was able to get a beanbag game at the Giant Tiger.
Yeah.
And then they also had lawn darts. I was like, oh, wonderful, lawn darts.
Yikes.
But I noticed they're rounded on the bottom. They're not the actual old school darts. They're safe darts.
You can't get those anymore.
So it says on the package, contains 4 lawn darts and 2 neon ring targets.
Okay.
So I noticed the box was kind of ripped open. And I say to the gal who's working at the cash, I don't see the ring targets in here. And so she says, well, let's just pop the top. I'm sure they're in there. So she pops the top and says, oh, and unless they're invisible, I don't think they're in here. And I was like, okay. Yeah, I don't think they're in here either. So she said, let me call the guy from the department and see what to do. I was like, well, I'm sure I can make up my own ring. She was like, no, that's not right. It says there are rings in there. Let me see what we can do for you. So she calls the guy to come over. The guy, I should have known. He was
Wasn't
in
there another like another box of these things?
No, what? This was the last one. Important detail. Yeah. So the guy who was in charge of deciding how much I get off was in the parking lot corralling carts. So okay. It's not like I'm going right to the top. Like this guy is somehow cart guy who's also in charge of discounts. So he comes in. She explains the situation. I apologize to the guy in line behind me. I say, I'm usually you. I'm usually stuck behind this guy who's like waiting to get a price on a thing. So cart guy, let's call him Carl, says, oh, yeah, I understand. Yeah, the game's not much good to you without those. So we'll give you 5% off.
Oh, yeah. 5% off.
Sweet. Way to dig deep, Carl.
Nice.
But I was too far down the road. I couldn't say, well, then I don't want them because then I look like that guy.
Yeah.
So I ended up buying them, and then I went to Canadian Tire and bought 2 hula hoops, and I'll use those as the targets.
Perfect. That's a, yeah,
5%. A lot of running around, off. Though, bud.
That is.
And I mowed, we live on an acreage, and I mowed a soccer baseball diamond today.
Ooh, that's amazing. That's cool.
When was the last time you played soccer baseball?
I don't know if I ever have.
Really? Actually.
Yeah.
It's never a great have. Game.
I've played soccer, period, and foot hockey. But never soccer, baseball. That soccer, golf is starting to pick up, I heard.
How does that work?
Well, it's actually interesting. It's like the hole's not quite as long, I guess, but you have to kick it like a golf hole, and there's a big hole, so it's not that hard to kick it into. So if you think about it, you're going for a walk, and if it's like a golf and you have a ball, it's not bad as a concept.
But where do you play it?
Well, they have courses where it's like in a park, and they have the holes like set up where you finish it and we'll go to the next one, and I don't know, 9 holes or whatever it is, but it's an actual course that you can play.
Wow.
And it's starting to pick up.
So there's no way to modify an actual golf course to play. It's not like that.
Yeah, I don't think it's nearly as long.
Right.
It's just a couple kicks and then you're in. Probably closer to disc golf, like the frisbee golf.
Right.
Which is in a park. That's huge, that sport.
We should invent a sport. By the way, have you ever played Ultimat?
What is that? Never heard of that.
It's like frisbee football.
Okay.
But people wear headbands and short Adidas shorts to play it.
Nice.
Yeah.
But you're tackling people or not?
I don't think so. I think you're like backslapping them and bro-ing them down.
Nice.
Yeah.
So let's take a break here on TNT.
Okay, bud. Be right back. Who are you right now?
I'm anyone you want me to be. I'm what you call a shit.
Welcome back to TNT.
Hey, Jonathan. You were talking about Mario Lopez. And
I was.
We were talking about the Saved by the Bell movie that is happening, and there's nothing that we can do about that, but we can have some more fun with Mario Lopez.
Is there any such thing as enough fun with Mario Lopez?
Apparently not. You have another game. What is this game?
Well, so this is what I was thinking. Have you heard I Love You, Pappy?
That would be the J-Lo hit, right?
Yeah. That I thought was a joke.
Yeah.
It's funny because I'm realizing between Mario and Jennifer and George, I don't know if I respect the craft of anyone with the last name Lopez.
George throwing him in there.
Well, a lot of people say, like a lot of comics will tell you that George Lopez is hilarious. I think I heard Chris Rock refer to like the great George Lopez, and I couldn't believe that someone like Chris Rock would consider someone like George Lopez in the same realm even. But apparently he's a comics comic.
I guess he is. Yeah, I've heard the same thing.
So this is my idea for a game. I'm going to read a quote from brainyquote.com, and you have to tell me whether it was Mario Lopez or Jennifer Lopez who said it.
Perfect. I love it.
Or if we keep it in the Mario realm, it could be Mary Yes. Or Mary No.
Okay, we could do that.
Or Lopez or Nopez?
Nopez or Lopez? Nopez or... what? Let's just go with Mario or Mary Yes or Mary No. I'm good. I'm good with that. Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
I love talking about women because they are a constant study and you're always learning. Mario or Jennifer?
I'm going to say that's Mary, yes.
Meaning Mario?
Meaning Mario.
Correct. If you kiss on the first date and it's not right, then there will be no second date.
That sounds like Mary, yes. Mario again.
No, that's Jennifer.
Ooh.
That's Jennifer Lopez.
That's tough.
If you don't love yourself, you can't love anybody else.
Ooh, that's very, very pensive. Makes me think. I'm going to go Mary, yes.
Meaning Mario?
Mario, yeah.
No, that's Jennifer Lopez.
Oh!
You're getting schooled on this game, kid.
Killed. This game's tough because they're very alike.
Yeah, they are.
And they're light.
And notice how you never see them in the same place.
I wonder if they should maybe go on a date.
That's what 90% of the people talk about when they're first exposed to the fish.
That's a quote?
Yeah.
Let's hear that again.
That's what 90% of the people talk about when they're first exposed to the fish.
That sounds like a J-Lo.
So that's Mario Lopez.
Oh!
Guy, it's crazy. I don't even know what it means.
I thought I knew Mario Lopez. I guess not.
I guess you don't.
I guess I don't know him at all. Is there any more?
No pice.
Yeah, no pice.
There's no pice. I'm a hopeless romantic and a passionate person when it comes to love.
that sounds like Mario. Mary, yes.
That's Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Just on the wrong side of the bed when it comes to Lopez. Mario.
But I think that's one of those things where by losing, that means you won.
Maybe. I guess it is one of those things where it's just... I don't... Is there more? Let me try some more.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read a George Lopez joke. And you tell me if it's funny.
Okay, that's even better. I'm Mary yes or Mary no.
Yeah. These are George Lopez quotes.
Okay.
Also, this is from jokesforus.com. By the way, he had a public intoxication arrest in March, remember?
I didn't. Of course, I don't remember that.
Okay, so let's talk about jokes for us for a minute. Listen to the categories of jokes on Jokes for Us.
Okay.
Animal jokes,
yeah.
Bar jokes, blonde jokes, celebrity jokes, dirty jokes, ethnic jokes, holiday jokes, knock-knock jokes, people jokes, pickup lines, political jokes, religious jokes, sports jokes, yo mama jokes, miscellaneous jokes, and submit a joke.
I love how they have ethnic jokes, like that's not racist jokes.
Doesn't
like,
that mean racist jokes?
Like, why don't they just put that on there?
Okay. Lopez or no-pez?
Yeah, I love this. That's way better.
Barack Obama may be black, but John McCain is the first albino presidential candidate. He's completely see-through.
No-pez.
No, Paz. You know, if those pews reclined and the priests gave the Raiders scores, I'd go to church every Sunday.
Oh, no, Paz. Trying to find some solace in the gambling community.
As long as you're a tax deduction, you'll always be safe in my house.
No, Paz.
Presents, we already bought you a lot of things. Remember when we were at the market and I bought you gum? Remember?
What?
No, Pez.
Like, that's ridiculous. That's not a joke, is it? Read that again.
Presents? We already bought you a lot of things. Oh. Remember when we were at the market and I bought you gum? Remember?
Like, the remember is like, have you, that'll put you on the floor.
Oh, here's one. Oh, you had a laugh track, and that would kill.
Yeah.
Now, imagine somebody on stage that you paid money to go see saying this. If I don't know it, you don't either. When did the Korean War start? I don't know, so neither do you.
Wow. No Pez.
Don't you find with comics, though, if you read a transcript of their act, it's not funny?
Yeah, but I don't know. Can you go to Richard Pryor? Let's see.
Oh, interesting. Because
he's the best of all time. Let's go see some Richard Pryor jokes.
I bet they are. I'm going to guess that they are funny because you're able to imagine him delivering them.
I don't know. It's like, we'll see. It's on paper, right? You don't have to read it.
Okay, I won't put any backspin or anything on it. I'll just read them.
Okay. These are Richard Pryor, so it's Richard.
We should solicit favorite jokes from people on Twitter. They should send in their favorite jokes.
Yeah, that because, would be good. My favorite joke.
Yeah.
Hit us on the Twitter box.
Okay, so here's a Zach Galifianakis one-liner. I have a lot of growing up to do. I realized that the other day inside my fort. That's funny.
Yeah, that's good.
This one from Jack Handy. Remember Deep Thoughts?
Yeah.
I came here in peace, seeking gold and slaves.
What the heck? Well, you can't find any Richard Pryor, because he was more of a long teller of stories as opposed to one-liners. But he always had one good joke. His jokes always had lines in them that were
I somehow feasible. Ended up at the one-liner fest.
Yeah.
Can I just read you two more?
Sure.
Steve Wright, I think it's wrong that the only one company makes Monopoly.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's a good one-liner.
Yeah.
Mitch Hedberg, my favorite comic of all time. Onions make me sad. A lot of people don't realize that.
Oh, man, that is good. Steven Wright has the best hair. Does he still have that hair?
It's a great question.
What does Steven Wright look like now?
Can't remember.
He had spectacular Larry hair from Three Stooges. And I could see that dwindling now to more of like a Larry David kind of look.
See, these Richard Pryor things aren't funny.
Really? Well, then that's not going to work.
I had to stop drinking because I got tired of waking in my car driving 90.
Yeah, that's not that great as a one-liner, is it?
Well, this is a good one-liner. I'm not addicted to cocaine. I just like the way it smells.
Yeah, that's like a popular one too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Richard Pryor is still the best, though, for telling a story.
Yeah, he is. And I think it has to do with two things. One is obviously delivery, and two is the strength of the material.
Yes.
But I've seen guys do a set at their home club and destroy, and then I see them do it in a new place, and it just sits there.
Yep, for sure. And Richard Pryor had the skill of, like, he could utilize voices, and he could do body motions and facial expressions,
right,
and mime work. Like, he could do all kinds of stuff to facilitate a story, and that's what's huge.
Right.
That's everything. He could just kind of go into character on you, and all of a sudden you're just laughing by virtue of the voice that he's using, you know?
Right, like, act outs.
Like that Mudbone character?
Yeah. So ahead of his time and so hip for the room, right?
Totally. Totally. And growing up in his environment, just that kind of like off-the-charts upbringing, grew up in a brothel.
Really?
Yeah, man. And his mother or his father was a gold gloves boxer, a real tough guy. And his mother was working in the brothel. So like,
really?
Yeah. And his grandmother was like the running the whole thing. Apparently his grandmother was like the ultimate ringmaster, and just called all the shots, and he was apparently she was the only one who could say something to him, and he would be like, run away, you know, listen. So
crazy.
His story is incredible.
A lot of those cats have really dark, weird stories, don't they?
Yeah, for sure. The better usually the better they are, the more crazy the upbringing is.
That's my problem. I'm too grounded.
Oh, yeah.
Too normal a nickname.
You didn't go through anything, eh, Jonathan?
Not really. I would say there's probably 2 months in the second season of Street Sense where I thought I was a bit of a deal, and then I had 30 CBC crew guys straighten me out really fast. Guys who've been working in that building since the 50s and 60s. They're like, hey, can I talk to you for a second? You're going to want to stop doing that right now.
Oh,
yes,
man.
Sir. That was it.
Remember the old school CBC, how crazy it was and how different it is now?
Yeah, it was awesome. Did you ever buy your own hype?
What's that?
Did you ever buy your own hype?
No. No. It was always cheap enough to just take it.
Ronnie'd straighten you out pretty quick on that, wouldn't he?
Yeah, that and just the idea of it. I don't know. I think I've always looked at playing drums as more of a trade, like a normal...
Right.
As if I were like a bricklayer or something, because it's just something that takes a long time and you work at it, and if you do it well, then stuff comes with it. And I think same goes for talking and, you know, giving opinion. It's just... You're just kind of having conversation and trying to be, trying to volley back ideas.
Chop wood, carry water, bud. That's all you can do.
I think if you're honest about it, then that's all it is. And if you get carried away, then usually you're going to, I don't know. Some people are like that, and that's how they get to the next level, is being megalomaniacs. I don't understand it, but it's never worked for me. I can't do that stuff.
It worked for George Lopez. Hey, not to cut your grass, but the Miniature Ponies have our first gig, man.
You're going to have a gig before I have a gig in my band. That's classic.
Well, I don't know. It's November 14th, and we're opening for the openers.
Yeah, you probably will. I won't be playing any shows, I don't think, before. Maybe. It might be close. It'd be. I might have a band name by then, though. That'll be interesting.
We're trying to put together our little set list.
Yeah, you're talking about, like, it's good country, like old country that you're doing, right?
Yeah, but this is the thing. Everybody has a different interpretation of what country is. Like, one of the tunes that we started to do was Handle Me With Care. Remember the Traveling Wilburys?
Yep.
That's a great tune.
That's an awesome song.
But it's arguably not country.
No, it's more of a rock and rockabilly kind of song.
Yeah. But isn't rockabilly sort of country-ish?
Yeah, for sure. Totally. I mean, there's pedal steel and stuff going on in there.
Yeah. There's quite a distance between Roger Miller and Blake Shelton.
Yeah, but... yeah, see, that to me, I don't know anything about really the new country stuff. Like, so when you mention, like, you know, Willie Nelson or Hank Williams, or even, you know, old Kris Kristofferson or stuff like that. Like, I love that kind of Emmylou Harris, Rodney Crowell. Like, that's great stuff that I love, but that's not really... those artists are all still... A lot of them are still doing that kind of music, but it's the newer country. I just don't find the same appeal, I guess, just because it's so, in a sense, formalized, you know? Like, there's always the same kind of sound, the drums and the guitar and everything, kind of, even the verse, chorus, bridge, chorus vibe, you know, it's always like you've heard the hit song always sounds similar to the last hit song. So unless there's a genuine artist that kind of comes out a little different, like my friend Chris McHugh plays with Keith Urban, I think he's a little bit different, you know, maybe that's because he's a really good guitar player, you know, that might be the
reason. And he's Australian.
Yeah, exactly, right? But then on the most part, in Nashville, that really popular country music is just kind of a little bit too slick for me, you know?
It's a great town. Have you been?
I have, yes, for sure. I haven't been in a couple of years, but it's a really cool town to hang.
All the heavy-duty session players play in bands at night, and they play in honky-tonks up and down the strip, and they don't get paid. They pass the hat, and that's what they make.
Yeah, and a lot of that...
So some of the best music you'll see is just the house bands or hired guns in a honky-tonk.
Well, that's these guys kind of... If you're in the scene, you're doing it to keep up your chops and have fun, and if you're not in the scene, you're doing those to try and get in the scene. So you're always having... the best of the best, like the guys that are already in the round tables of session players, and then the other guys that are trying to get in that. So you have, it's like an ongoing cycle of great music constantly, for sure.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get out of this wishy-washy TV business, and I'm going to get myself into something more secure, like country music cover band.
Perfect.
I think there's a future in that.
I know people that have done similar things, and it worked out.
Hey, I'll talk to you next week, bud.
Great talking to you. I'll talk to you soon, JT.
And also with you, 13 in the can. We have done a baker's dozen of episodes. Hey, thanks to the people for listening. You can hit us up on the Twitter machine, Taggart and Torrens. We really appreciate your feedback. And it's been really fun figuring out what works and what doesn't, and the highs and lows. Thanks for sticking it out with us.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, JT. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, JT.
Fucking ready.